Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Well, there are a lot of things that are going on tonight. I have such wonderful guests that are going to be with me and have a conversation this evening. These gentlemen have known each other for a very long time, and then they went off and had their lives, and then they've come back together, and there's a wonderful story there. And so we'll get to that story. But as usual, this is Lenny Godfrey, Straight No Chaser, on blogtalkradio.com/ S as in Sam, F as in Fred, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, and the number 2. But you know I have to do a little housekeeping. I want people who want to dial in to ask you all some questions to dial 516-453-6063 and then press the number 1. Now, we're also trying to get one of our guests on tonight. He's been locked out. I tried to call him, but it didn't happen. But during the show, we are going to be able to get him on. I'm going to keep on trying to get him on the show. But until that happens, as we move forward, let me just say this to you. I was informed today that today, 1 year ago, was the first episode of Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. So this is my 1 year anniversary, and I am so very happy to share it with these gentlemen and to all the callers that are calling in, and my board is getting full already. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, and we will get you in, Ron. I promise you will get in before the end of this hour is on. I'd like to start by introducing you to these men. There are 4 of them. They were all students a while ago at a high school called Boys High in Brooklyn, New York. It's a specialized school. I've heard a lot about it because I happen to be married to one of the men that is here tonight who was one of the students. And I will introduce you one at a time so that you could see what the combination is of these men and what they've come together and what they are going to do. First, I'm going to talk about Ron Davidow. Now, Ron is the one that I'm trying to get on now. And Ron, if you hear me, if you will just dial that number and press the number 1. I'll see you on the board and then I can get you in. But Ron graduated from Boys High, as many of them did, in the 1967. And he went on to study at Baruch School of Business, City University of New York, and then NYU Graduate School of Business. He had a corporate finance career, and he was a member of a team that started an NYSE traded financial warranty company, running a trade finance company. He continues part-time counseling and is an alternative investment firm with an alternative investment firm in New York City. That's just one. Now, one of the other things that I want to tell you about these gentlemen is that they are all on the board of this organization, the Men of Boys High. And I am so honored to do the second person that we have in our panel tonight is Stanley Theodore Allman. And he was born in Brooklyn, New York. It doesn't tell me where Ron was born, but I think I'll ask him once he gets on. Stan attended and graduated from Boys High School in 67, as did Ron. Stanley also attended Cheyenne State College, and I'm going to be asking Stan exactly where that is, and Long Island University. He was married in 1971 to lovely Mary Williams and had two children, Flacette Shelton and Stanley Altman, and two granddaughters, Michaela Shelton and August Altman. Stanley worked 28 years at Amnesty International and retired in 2014. And in his free time, I don't know when he has that with all of those family members, he runs 10Ks and marathons, dances to Latin music, and loves to go to concerts and comedy shows. Then there is the Dr. Frank Watson. Dr. Frank Watson graduated from Boys High in 67 also. And he studied pre-med at Dartmouth College, and he continued his education at Yale School of Medicine. He studied surgery in Washington, D.C. at Howard University and their medical school. He returned to New York to live closer to his family, and he began working in private practice in the New York City metropolitan area. He is currently working at St. Barnabas in the Bronx. His children are now young adults living independently and working on their prospective careers, and he and his lovely wife have downsized and are living peacefully in Stamford, Connecticut. And the last one, and they're being very, very quiet. You know, I've had them all on mute, but now they're all live, and these men are very, very quiet. The last one I know a little bit better than the other three because I'm married to him. His name is Carl Everard Lee. He was born in Bellevue Hospital in New York City. And after living 12 years on a farm in Virginia, they came back to Brooklyn, where he attended Boys High School. He was both the president of the class and the president of the school at the same time. And I'm very proud of that, even though he didn't write that in his bio. He attended and graduated the University of Wisconsin-Madison with BA in economics and an MBA in finance. He worked for 34 years at ExxonMobil as a senior advisor. And he wrote this, and I'm very glad to read this. He says, "My greatest memories are the excitement when I married my wife, Lenny Godfrey, and the 100 of performances that I have attended." I have to write him a check for that. So, gentlemen, good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Hello. I'm also. Stan,
good.
Are you there? I can't hear Stan. Is he there?
Hello.
Hello.
Stan? Yes. I'll call you out one at a time. Stan, are you there? Okay. Let me see why we can't hear you. All right. Let me see why we can't hear you, Stan. Okay. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There he is. All right. And Frank, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Frank, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I am here.
Good. Carl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, then. Now I'm trying to make sure that I have everybody that's supposed to be on the air right now. And now we will try to get Ron. But now that I have all four of you gentlemen, I want to say again, welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser.
Thank you.
You all have got to be far more vocal than that. It's four of you. Hey, well, it's three of you now, and
see, we don't know how to holler if we don't have all four of us. You know, one of our members is missing, and we just don't feel the same. So we're not yelling until we get that fourth person.
Yes, well, I will definitely work on that for you, Mr. Lee. Thank you very much. One of the things though that I'd like to do is I don't know which one of you has decided. I know Frank, you are president of the Men of Boys High, and I could not decide whether I wanted to start at the beginning of all of your education and get up to here or go backwards. So why don't we start with why you all decided to come together after so many years and establish this? Frank, why don't you start at this point? Okay?
Yes. Yes, I remember quite well January 2012. I got a call from Carl. Haven't heard from Carl for a couple of decades. He mm-hmm. called me, and from there, this is how it started. He said we got together, and he said it would be a good idea if we could get our classmates together and for social purposes, as well as to do something, give back to our school, to our community, Bedford-Stuyvesant. So it all uh-huh. started 10 years ago. Yeah, so we've been, during that period of time, we have met socially in different restaurants in Brooklyn. And so from that, it took the social part more now of charitable work. That's what we're focusing on now, giving back to our neighborhood, to our school. That's the main focus of our goals. It all started with that phone call 10 years ago.
So it started with a phone call 10 years ago. And hold on for 1 second. I really have to check this. Ron, are you on?
Can you hear me?
Ron, are you on?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Everyone, Ron is on.
What's up, Ron?
Great.
There you go. All right. So now I can start the conversation really fully. So after that, in that telephone call that the Carl made, was it initially just to get together with some of the people that you had gone to school with? Carl, why don't you chime in?
Well, the intent was, yes, you know, sometimes you're closer to some of the guys that you went to school with and not as close to some others. But this one was just an open, you know, book. We wanted to get as many of the guys who went to school with, especially in 1967 was the year in which we all graduated. And we really wanted to find at least, a couple of handfuls of those young men, kids, but when we left, but we grew to be young men, as many as we could. And so the Frank went out and he had some contacts and I had a few contacts and the group, the initial four people basically became the officers of the charity that we developed. And then there was a lot more, there was members and it just began to grow.
Well, I have a question. Now that I've got all four of you here, I want to start in another kind of direction. All of you went to Boys High. What is your greatest memory there? Why don't you start, Ron?
Oh, wow. It was just a whole experience. Boys High was special. You talk to graduates of Boys High and, you know, everyone just feels that it was a special experience. And I don't know what it was. I don't think a lot of high schoolers carry that through their lives. But, you know, the graduates of Boys High, it's a special experience.
Well, I know that you all have a lot of celebrities that have gone there and really yep. celebrated artists that have been there. But what
yep.
what particular programs, what particular camaraderie did you all have? I mean, I saw today your book, the high school book, which was fascinating seeing all of you as young men. And right. what what, when I say your greatest memory, was, did anything, any particular teacher, any particular class stand out? Ron, you take it, then Stan, you take it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Back then I was just trying to survive and do the best I could. I talked to Frank quite a bit, and, you know, he tells me about teachers and, you know, events, and I have very little recollection. Not that I don't have recollection of Boys High, but nothing sort of important like that stands out. It was just a totally good experience that I'm very happy I had.
Mm. Lenny, could I just say one thing? Okay.
Wait. Hold on your thought. I want Stan for a second. Hold on your thought, Carly. Stan.
The whole high school experience was unique to me. It brought together a group of guys that didn't know each other, and we became like one. Our mantra, at the athletic game, we used to recite this Boys High Mambo. At the track meet, was the high guy, the heat wave. You know, and through that, the guys bonded together. And we still have, a lot of us still have that bond to today. You know, especially, I'm kind of prejudiced, but I'm going to say the guys of 67, 68, 66, we have a special bond that we carry to today. We can always go to each other and you know, for help or any kind of assistance. They're always there for you, no matter what. And to this day, we still carry that.
That's fabulous. Yes, Carl?
No, when you asked Ron with the question, you know, maybe he didn't. Do you realize that Ron, with his intelligence, skipped 2 years along the way before he got to Boys High School? So he was 2 years younger than anybody in our class. And sometimes people that, that they feel with that 2 years makes a big difference when you're young. So most of the guys are 17 as a midpoint. Let's call them 17 years old. And Ron is 15, you know. And you got all these grown men, the boys that's making themselves into men. Ron is still 2 years back, but he was a brilliant student, and he was always quiet. I asked Ron one day, I said, Ron, you said, you don't talk a lot. And he said, I know. I feel more comfortable within himself, with his brilliance, than to, you know, be loud and boisterous like most of us were. So the fact that he was bright enough to skip 2 grades along the way before he got to Boys High School. And that's what a lot would be. And he won't tell a lot of people that, but, one day we were talking, and I found that out, because I just always said, I always admired him, but I never knew why he was so quiet. And that's the reason why.
Well, Frank, that's very interesting. Thank you. I find that there are a lot of things that are revealed once people come on this program. Frank, what did you take? Wait a minute. Before I get to you, Frank. Cheney State College.
That's in Cheney, Pennsylvania. It's about 25 miles from Philly,
of
Philly.
All right. So here's a general question for all of you all. What did Boys High give you that made it interesting or difficult to survive that transition from high school into college? What did you take from Boys High? Frank, I'm starting with you.
Yeah. Well,
you went to Dartmouth, right? You went to Dartmouth.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm a Panamanian. I was born in Panama. I came to the United States when I was 10. So I was a Spanish speaker, so English was my second language. Mm-hmm. And so I was not a very good student before I got to Boys High. I was an average. And the summer before I got to boys' high, I had a trip to Jamaica. That's where my father was from. And there I met relatives, cousins of mine, and realized that high school education was not a given there in Jamaica at that time. You only were able to go to high school if you were very, very, very bright or your parents had money to just pay for it. So when I came to Boys High in 64, I felt gratitude that I was getting this good education for free, that my parents didn't have to pay for it. I really took advantage of it. And also the teachers there, especially if you show that you were trying or that you they would help you. They cared.
Sure.
And so I felt that the whole experience prepared me for manhood, especially mm-hmm. when I went to Dartmouth, of course. Mm-hmm. One of the things was that there were, in a class ahead of us, there were four students that went to Ivy League school, one to Yale, one to Dartmouth, one to Harvard, and one to Princeton. So, you know, before that, there were other Ivy League. So the school had a track record of sending graduates to these prestigious schools. Of course, my first year at Dartmouth, I was surrounded by preppies, guys who had gone to boarding school, they had good education and a lot of money and all of that. But I wore my boys' high school sweatshirt very proudly. I say, well, my school is just as good as yours, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you have nothing to see. So it gave me a lot of confidence. Afro-American teachers who stress the importance of being a good young man, good black man. We read books like by Langston Hughes,
mm-hmm.
Asbury, Raising mm-hmm. the Sun, mm-hmm. things like there was the movie that was recommended, Nothing But a Man. I remember
mm-hmm.
Seeing that. All of mm-hmm. these things that I took with me, the values.
So all of that happened. That happened in Boys High.
All that happened.
All of those references to the playwrights, to the poets, to the films. Those things emphasizing the history. Some of the history that wasn't taught as regularly in American history as the rest of history. So that was emphasized in Boys High. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would have learned it if I'd gone to another high school, you know. But but anyway, I took a lot from there, and I was very, mm-hmm. very proud of my education, and it served me very well. I mean, you know, I was able to compete on a high level because of the education I got at Boys High.
I'm trying to connect this because this particular program is one where what is important is, and I'm going to get to in the next few minutes, why I have all of you together and what purpose you all have in creating the Men of Boys High. And what I'm trying to connect is the effect that of what you learned in the arts and in the school environment in Boys High. And when you mention Langston Hughes and you mention the Lorraine Hansberry Raising the Sun and the films that the film Raising the Sun and Nothing But a Man, all of those films attribute to, I believe, you all developing yourselves in a certain culture. And Ron, your understanding maybe a culture that was not familiar to you and taking you to another level with confidence about who you were. Carl, how did that affect you? You were affected a great deal by being exposed to the theater while you were at Boys High. Tell that story, please.
Well, I like the culture of the people who, you know, went to the theater, you know, and it's not necessarily the Broadway theater or the off-Broadway theater, but, you know, we had live performances everywhere, you know, in Brooklyn and Manhattan, whatever. I just loved live entertainment. The fancy stuff in terms of, first of all, you had to have money to go to a lot of those places. And if you didn't have money, and I didn't come from a very wealthy family, I was lucky to just have enough to go and get myself a new shirt and a pair of shoes. So, and even though I worked in a candy store, you know, you work in a candy store, and you're not legally of age, and you've taken in, at the end of the day, you'll be lucky if the guy gives you $5 for what you put, you know, time you put in. So I was fortunate enough to go to Boys High, and one of the English teachers, I think his name, I looked in my yearbook and I can't name anywhere. He was in honors English, and one of the Netherlanders, or one of the big muckety mucks on Broadway.
Schubert or Netherlanders, the Schuberts.
Yes, it's one of them. It doesn't make a difference. Maybe it's a Schubert, but the fact is, they gave tickets to each of the schools based on the reading and understanding of a novel, and they had a test. We had a test in honest English, and the one who scored the highest on that 10-question test would get tickets to go to Broadway and see a show. Now, I would have never been to Broadway if it wasn't for that opportunity to win the tickets. Now, I used to read like all get up when I knew that was the novel. They told you the name of the novel. You read the novel. And I think it's Mr. Levenberg, it was his name, if I missed one of the syllables, you know, then bear with me. But he would give a test, and I was always had the three. He has three tickets from the Schubert organization. Now that I remember, the Schubert organization, they had three tickets. First, second, and third on the test got a ticket. Now the ticket wasn't front row seats; it was up in the balcony and whatever. But I had the opportunity to watch Golden Boy. It was Lola Falana and Sammy Davis Jr. did Golden Boy on Broadway. I saw that. And I saw Fiddler on the Roof with what's his name? I can't think of his name now. I love the man. He played the fiddler.
And,
I can't think of his name. But anyhow, that was an introduction to Broadway. I would never, my family could not afford tickets like that, and I just loved it. But the starting of the flavor of wanting to see that and loving every minute started in the classroom, you know, in our school, you know. And I became addicted to it. I could never, you know, turn it down. I was always looking for opportunities to work long enough to put a few clothes on my back, give a couple of dollars to my mother so she can buy some things she wanted, and to find a show off Broadway or up in Harlem. You know, you hit the Apollo Theater. All of that was just wonderful to me, and I just loved it.
Well, I think you're talking about Zero Mistel.
Yeah, Zero Mistel. I couldn't remember.
Yes, Zero Mistel.
Yeah. Fiddler on the Roof.
Well,
yeah.
Yes, Fiddler on the Roof. Well, now, what about you, Stan? You went to Philadelphia, near Philadelphia in Pennsylvania there. How did the Boys High prepare you for that? Did being exposed to the arts, being exposed to a lot of the different groups in the school help you make that transition?
I would say yes. I was associated with the football team, and by being with them, you know, going on a couple of trips. And that prepared me for staying in dorms because I was the only boy in my family. I have three sisters, only boy. So I always had my own room. So to share a room with another guy was different.
Uh-huh.
And I think that prepared me for, you know, for staying in the dorm. Also, the teachers there, there was a guy named Phil Cox. He was our gym teacher, and he was like a drill master. He was everybody was like intimidated by this guy because he was, you know, he ran a real tight gym,
mm-hmm.
and he demanded that you give respect, and he respected you. And I think that helped helped a lot of guys become young men and learn how mm-hmm. to give respect to other people. And I think that helped prepare me for my endeavors after that.
Well, you know, I'm going to move a little bit on because, believe it or not, we are now past, we've been on the air for a half hour. And that means
wow.
we only have about 25 more minutes left. So, and that's why we go on to the next part of it, which is the video part, so that the audience and the board is filled up. So if people are here, if you want to ask a question, I'm going to let you ask questions in the last few minutes. But I want these gentlemen to talk to you about what they've established now. So I'm going to start with Ron, then I'm going to go to Frank, then I'm going to go to Carl, and then I'm going to go to Stan. First, Ron, tell me about what it is that the Men of Boys High is doing right now.
Okay, so we formed a 501c3 charity, which is tax exempt from the IRS point of view. The mission of the corporation is to provide scholarship or other means to help students in Bedford-Stuyvesant or attending high school in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and particularly at Boys and Girls High School, with aid, money, financial aid, other aid to achieve their educational goals. And we hope that over the years, you know, we keep in touch with these students and help them along and see some progress. You know, Bedford-Stuyvesant is improving, but, you know, there's still a lot of poverty, still a lot of students who maybe aren't making the grade, but, you know, there are always gems
mm-hmm.
in the mm-hmm. In the floss, and you know, our hope is to find those gems and help them along, as we were helped along, you know, during our careers, during our educational endeavors and our careers.
What about you, Frank?
So we.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. So you know, we're making progress, and we have applications out. So we're working with the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation to try to find students. We have, you know, we're looking for students. So if anybody knows a student in Bedford-Stuyvesant or attending high school in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you know, we'd love to have them submit an application for a scholarship.
Well, we're going to make sure that you give us the information, you and Frank give us the information where that can be submitted to, so that all those people who are listening who may know of students who may be eligible for that live in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area. So Frank,
okay.
You are president. So tell me what are you thinking that can be achieved in the next 2 or 3 years with the Men of Boys High and leadership?
Of course, of course we want to expand our fundraising. We've formerly been an organization for 2 years now, and we've made some progress.
Mm-hmm.
People have been generous
mm-hmm.
to points. We've gotten contributions from our membership, as well as from friends that did not go to the school. So we're making progress. So as president, my job, of course, is to do fundraising. That's the main thing. And I've gotten a lot out of this, you know, rekindling ties, talking to find out what's out, the need that's there for students living in Bedford-Stuyvesant. This scholarship can be helpful, especially for students going to city colleges that we have here. This can supplement their financial needs. So so that's it. Fundraising and, of course, providing income scholarships for students going to school, college in the fall.
Carl, what is it that your involvement means to you? What does it mean to you? Stan, you think about that at the same time. What does your involvement mean to you?
Well, you know, most people know that I was born in Manhattan and taken to Virginia and lived on a farm when I was very young. And that's abject poverty, that, you know, in terms of how you can live. You can feed your face, but basically you don't learn anything else. And was able to come back to Brooklyn out of desperation and live. But my father decided he didn't know anything about farming and bring us back. And when we came back to New York and rented a place in Brooklyn, I could feel the poverty that was on my face, because we didn't have a lot of things, you know, and a lot of things are not always the most important thing. You have your health and have your love and your family and everything like that. But I still was, when I went to school, first school in New York was junior high school, Decatur Junior High School, 35. I went there for 1 year because I had gone through the eighth grade in Virginia, and that was a very, very poor area in which I went to school. But people would always have something that handing out to the seven kids. We had seven. I was the oldest of seven kids, and brothers and sisters, and it was very hard on the family. And so I know what it is to be not have things, and I could see it on the face as things changed for me as I got older, went away to Wisconsin. The year that 1967, there was ladies in the community, because I didn't have a scholarship initially, they would bake pies and sell pies and cake to raise money so that I could get money to go to school. And basically, I was lucky. On top of that the University of Wisconsin finally offered me a full scholarship. And I always think about the opportunity that I got from the community as a whole. And I know that still a lot of people there have that same, in the same position. And I always wanted to pay them back some kind of way. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that helped me is now deceased, because when they were helping me, they was, you know, 55, 60, 65, 70 years old. And that was so long ago, there's no way they're still alive. But to let them know spiritually that there's a debt in Bedford-Stuyvesant that I have to repay back. So that's what motivates me to do that.
Mm-hmm. Stan?
And boys, the men of boys high school can find ways of doing that. And and I'm just one of the pieces that hopefully will make that change.
Stan?
Well, what I want to get out of this is that my when I went to school, I had to, my parents, we were poor. And my parents really didn't have money to send me to school. So, you know, they, you know, we shopped around, looked around, and, you know, I got a student loan and things like that. But this is what I want to do. I want to help some kids, you know, get an education that was, you know, that they may not be able to afford like I was. And education is important. It was important in our family because that's what they all stressed. You know, to finish high school wasn't a big deal because they expected everybody to finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have you know, kids dropping out, but everybody couldn't, you know, afford to go to college. But we found some kind of way to, you know, to extend our education. And this is what we're trying to do with this, you know, if we can send a kid to college or to further education, maybe they want to go to trade school, whatever it might be, it's something that gives me satisfaction that we can help these kids. Because I have been working with Abraham Lincoln High School, because that's where my son, he went to high school at Lincoln. And I've been working with them since 1989, you know, helping them forming their parents association, working their concession stands at the games. So, you know, I've always wanted to work with Boys High, but, you know, the situation there wasn't, you know, compatible for me to go over there and just say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, because I didn't have any kids in the school. But this is something I always wanted to do. I always wanted to help out at Boys High. That's my way of giving back.
I think it's absolutely admirable what you all are doing. I'm very, very honored that you all wanted to come in on this program and start to talk a little bit about it. I'm glad that I got a chance to get all of you on, all four board members of you all. How many members do you have, do you think, estimate, Frank, that you have of the men of Boys High?
I would say about 50
mm-hmm.
plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah. Are they different? Are they of different years? You know, I believe, yes, you know, there's a closeness, I think, that Stan was saying about the year was 67, 66, 68, 69. Sometimes you're in high school, you know, all those classes have a tendency to bond together. Are there different years? What's the years like? Do you have any young graduates, or do you have some of the oldest graduates that you have?
Yes, we've had some from classes of 58, 57. We've had mm-hmm. some young ones as well. The high school went co-ed in about 1984, I think it was. I'm not sure. So that's boys in high school. Boys and girls high school, so that's a whole different alumni situation there. But yes, we have quite a range. But the core of the group is at 67. We're the leadership of that for right now.
Has the pandemic slowed anything down for you all at all, or have you found a way
we've
to navigate?
We've gone.
Say it again.
We've been doing Zoom call, and
mm-hmm.
so we've kept in touch that way. As a matter of fact, because of it, we're able to reach alumni living in different states, like Florida, Arizona, so people can tune in even from California. So that's one of the upside of it. But we used to meet quarterly in the restaurant in Brooklyn before the pandemic. So we haven't done so since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Before, as we go into the last about 12 minutes of this, the first thing that I want to do is to make sure that if anyone wants to ask a question, now is the time. It is 516-453-6063. I know the board is full. It is full. I can't, you know, there it's off the board. And some of you may not get through, but those of you who are on, if you want to ask a question, push one. Just push the number one, and that will come up, okay? I have a question already. Hold on. All right. A couple of questions. All righty. It's coming on. And welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. Tell me your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Julius Hollingsworth, and I'm calling from Valley Stream.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, as successful as you gentlemen are, and coming from a time when a lot was against you, what is one thing that you think, each of you, that made you the successful people that you are?
Thank you.
That's a great question.
Oh my.
All right.
I'll take a
okay.
piece of that.
Okay. Go ahead, Carl.
It 1967 was a very difficult time, I think, in general in the country.
you know, you had the Black Panthers, trying to get some changes, and sometimes they were too aggressive in their manner and stuff. I went off to the University of Wisconsin. Wisconsin had one of the largest student body in terms of numbers in the country. I think the number was something like 32,000 students all on one campus in Madison. And it was a very difficult time, you know, when I first got there with the scholarship that they gave me, that brought the population of the 35,000 students that's on campus. With the group that went in that year, there was just 100 Black students out of the 35,000. You could walk all day. It's a huge campus, the University of Wisconsin. All the Big Ten schools are very, very large. You could walk all day and not see a Black face. And if you saw one, you would give them the soul shake and be hugging them and say, Where's your dormitory? Are you renting off campus and whatever? You sit there and you missed the next class because you didn't feel another Black face. You had no Black professors and whatever. And it was a big adjustment beyond poverty, because you could probably find a college, if you were bright enough, they would probably underwrite you for a year or 2 years on scholarship. I was lucky to have a full scholarship. But the biggest thing was to find the same things that you saw back home. You like to see a nice face that looked like your face. You like to have a nice teacher that looked like your teacher. And it just didn't exist. And it made it very difficult. And to all kinds of organizations started with the new incoming, you know, Black students. And it was a very tough time until I got to about my junior year there, and things began to change as more Hispanic and people from other walks of life began to come into the campus for the first time.
But so let me summarize a little bit, because we've not got a whole lot of time, because I have one more question. Someone has another question. And what the question was, what did you learn? So what you learned was the assimilation of understanding that the world really, you know, where you were going to represented more of the world than where you came from.
Exactly what I did. I had different types of roommates and everything. And it turned out the world is not that different after all. You know, you talk the same language, you know, you hug each other and you found the common ground. And it worked by the time my senior year, I didn't want to leave.
All right. Now, we're going to hold on to that question. We're going to answer that more, gentlemen, in the video. I'm going to go to this next person who has a question. So keep that in mind, because I'm going to ask the other three of you what you learned at thank you very much, Julius, for this question. And I'm going to go to hello. And welcome to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, hi, Lenny. Hi, Carl. This is Joy from Berkeley, California.
Well,
and
hello,
what
Joy.
to do was really express my gratitude and ask you to talk a little bit about the food programs that you had. I think it was for Thanksgiving for seniors.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah, at Boys and Girls High.
Oh, okay. All right. Were you all involved in
the food that you all were involved in?
I don't know if they were.
Not that I know of.
No. This group was not involved in that one. No, that one, it wasn't involved in that one. That was a separate program from that was conducted in Girls and Boys High. But this particular
group. Oh, I see.
Group,
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My
yeah.
mother, every year, and she loved it so much. So I think that what you all started out continued on for people to work in the community. So I'm
yes.
really thankful about that, even though you all didn't do it.
Yes, I know.
Thank you.
But Joy should tell you that she is from Brooklyn. She's now on the West Coast, but she understands exactly where you all, what section you're talking about, and we all both had a similar school experience together in New York City. So that's absolutely. Thank you, Joy. That's
you're
a wonderful
quite
question. Thank you. Now I'm going to ask one more time if there's anything else, because we're down now to the last few minutes. Gentlemen, I have one more thing that I want to ask you about, and that is, and I don't know who can answer this. First, your contact information. If someone knows a student or knows of a family that might benefit from getting in contact with you, how can they contact you? You have a Facebook page. You have a website. Can you give me that information, please?
Yeah, the best way to get an application is on our website. It's called the menofboyshigh.org. And there is an application form. It explains our mission, explains how to submit the application, the type of person we're looking for, the type of student we're looking for. We also have a Facebook page, but the best way to get the application is on the website.
All right. So give it to them one more time, if you could, please.
It is the menofboyshigh.org.
No spaces.
And maybe we can post that on your site.
I'll post it when we do the video. And I'll put that on there so that people can see that. It'll be on my page on Facebook on the video.
Right. The application is also on the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corp website.
Okay. That's absolutely wonderful. I guess what I want to know is you get the students involved. You get a number of students that apply and submit. And is it your intention to follow them through their college education, to mentor them, or to let them go and report you back? What is the method? What's the method that you all have thought about? And how?
Yeah, I think that's what we want to do, is to follow these students to make sure that they're getting the support they need. We're hoping that these are students that need just a little help, that they're bright, they have initiative, they're going to try to do their best, and with a little help from us, who have many years of experience, we can help them along.
Yes. Well, I think it's admirable what you all are doing. Does anyone have any final statement that they want to say in the next 3 minutes, because that's all we have left, about 3.5 minutes, that you want to leave the audience with about? You've already talked about your mission of Boys High, and you've all of them summarizing, you talked about how the arts did influence you. It broadened your scope when you went from Boys High out into the world. And that's one of the things that we also here at Lenny Gottfried Straight No Chaser want to emphasize, the fact that the arts is so important in our education, that it is not to be eliminated first or thought about last, but it is in this theme of things like science, like tech, like engineering, like math, the arts is there. Do you have anything else that you would like to leave the audience with as far as, not the arts, but what you want your legacy to be with the men of Boys High, past you? Have you all thought about the passing on of your leadership? You all are from that particular year. And that year, as you get older, do you have young men who are coming behind you, who you can leave your legacy to? Have you thought about that, passing the torch?
That's the next step.
Yeah.
I think we need to reach out to the alumni. There's a few alumni associations out there. I think we need to reach out to them to get some younger men, because, you know, we're all 72 or above, and we need someone to come in and take the mantle from us.
Right.
Well, I think you all have done an admirable job, and the numbers are great. You all sound fabulous. I'll see what you look like in a few minutes once we get on the video. But it's always, you know, I always think about a succession plan whenever I'm on a board or whenever I'm involved in anything, so that that recruitment, that the idea keeps going on. Carly, do you have any last things that you would like to say? Because, see, I have to live with him, so I don't want him to say that I didn't give him a chance to talk, you all.
No, you know, I'm scared. I'm afraid of you, that I have to sleep with my eyes open. So no, I don't have anything yet.
All right. Well, you know, I would like to say that next week I have to, you know, I'm going to do my promo for next week, will be the very professional super couple of Leon and Brenda Denmark, who are, again, friends that I've known for a very, very long time, who are native New Yorkers also. Well, Brenda and I went to Hunter College together, and we'll talk about the influence of art in their lives. But while I have you all here, I want to tell you all, but in the next minute or so, how very proud I am to be associated, if only through my husband, with the work that you all are achieving to do. And it is an example of, I believe, what people need to know more about what we do in our communities, that we take pride in trying to foster our young people so that they will understand how important education and levels of education, whether it's training in a technical school like Stan said, or it's a 4-year or 6-year program as you're going to get your master's. We take pride in that investment in them. And I think there needs to be more publicity about this organization and organizations like it, because there are opinion that the men in our communities and who have gone to our schools don't give back, but you all are a perfect example of those who do. So with that said, I want to thank you all very much for coming on and being guests on Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. We have the after show, Afterthoughts. Does everyone have the invitation to go?
Yes.
Yes.
And thank you for those kind words.
Yes.
Thank you, Lenny.
You're welcome. And Ron, it's the same, if you choose to join us, it's the same invitation that we use when we talk. All right?
Yeah, I think I'm in. I think I'm waiting for you to let me in.
Oh, okay. All right, then. So with that, I have 90 seconds left. I want to thank you all. And everyone, thank you all for joining me in Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser here at blogtalkradio.com. And I'll see you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So long.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't know how to love.